Right, so tonight we are on the Wednesday night meeting, and I think it's October 30th?
It's August.
August? It'll be October. We'll do it again. August 30th, and we're on step nine. A few things about the site, experiencethebigbook.org. I've gone through and made the titles clear on all the talks we have on there, when they were recorded. And you'll see the Wednesday nights, there's Sunday nights, and Saturday mornings, and they're different parts of the book. I also put in there what handouts and the resources for recovery were used for those podcasts. I actually listened again today. I usually don't listen to the talks, but I listened to review of the purpose of the big book, because it was on a Wednesday night and it was one of our first meetings, and there were a lot of people here and a lot of new people. And so I actually listened today, and it was really good. I got a lot out of it. I'm going to republish that this week, and so that'll come out. I did Doctor's Opinion, the first part of Doctor's Opinion at home last night, because when we started listening to the podcast, we were on Doctor's Opinion Part 2, and I thought it was important to cover exactly what the doctor says is our problem. We'll be covering it again, but I want it on the site. There are thoughts on recovery. I'm doing the layout of the big book, and I'm going to do a thing on each chapter with how it's broken down and what it's trying to get across and what steps are covered in it. Tonight we're on step nine. We covered step eight last week, which is we're on page 77, and we're looking at the instructions on making amends. And we looked at on page 76 on the willingness, what's required to make amends. Are we willing to make amends? Step actually says, made a list of all persons we have harmed, and became willing to make amends to the ones I want to. No, it doesn't say that. It says to all. And so we have to be willing to make amends to everyone we had harmed. And that's a big deal, because some people don't want to make amends to some people. If that's true, the only thing I can suggest is that you go back with your sponsor or whoever and look at your resentment in the inventory again. And because it's very important that we forgive everybody that we harmed. We don't have to excuse what they did. We're not saying that. Some things they did were inexcusable. But we have to let go of our anger towards them and forgive them so that they don't have power over us anymore. And so that's what it's all about, is getting free of the bondage of self. And so Joe and Charlie make the point that some people had very bad things done to them when they were kids. They had no part in it. And they were harmed, and they said, well, how do you forgive that? Well, if you don't forgive it and you're keeping that going, why? What value is it today of something that happened 25 or 30 years ago? Why are you still holding it? What value could it possibly have for you? And you have to look at that. And so I think it's important that I'm willing to make amends to anybody I harmed. And I try to think, when I, like, coming to the meeting tonight, was there anybody out there that I really haven't forgiven? And I may not like a lot of them, but I've forgiven them, and I can see really where I contribute to a lot of it myself. And so I think it's very important. Forgiveness is for us, and we don't have to excuse anybody, but when we forgive, we get free of the bondage of self. And I think it's very important. So that's why they put step eight there. If you're not willing, ask God to make you willing. It's very important. And people can comment on that when we open it up. And it says, you know, it says, you're trying on page 76, it says on the second paragraph there, we attempt to sweep away the debris which is accumulated out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. Now remember, when you ask in the big book, it's a petition of prayer, and we expect that it will be answered. We're asking because our motives and our direction towards our Creator is such that we're petitioning when asking, and we expect that it will be answered. And so you keep asking and it will be answered. If you ask with the right motives, it will be answered. And I was, I actually studied that with Gary. We studied some scripture on that. And when we ask with our motives, if our motives are right, it will be answered. And it says, if you happen to do this, ask until it comes. Remember, it was greed at the beginning. We're going to any lengths for victory over alcohol. So are you willing to go to any lengths, or are you willing to forgive? Because I'm the only person that can keep myself from forgiving. The other point is that we've all done bad things, and I believe that God forgave me. And we say the Lord's Prayer, God forgives us as we forgive those. And so if you're not willing to forgive, you need to look at that. It's a form of self-centered thinking. I have also heard people say they can't forgive themselves. And I can't speak for their situation, but I could forgive myself for everything because I had the wrong director and it was me. I'd made bad decisions based on self. It's very clear. I harmed people, but my motives were wrong. And I was relying on me and not God. And so I was a person who had a bad manager and director. And it was me. So I fired myself. And I try to fire myself when I do that today. And I wouldn't do those things today. And I hope I won't do them today. Because I'm not that person and I don't have that director anymore and my motives are different. And so I don't think any of us were bad people, but we had bad direction. And we had bad motives. And our motives were selfish. And we don't have to be that way anymore. So we're going to look now on page 77. I read this line. It's hidden in the big book. I don't think I've ever been to a discussion meeting where it's been read. It says, at the moment, I am trying to put my life in order. That's what I'm trying to do in the steps. And they talk about, how is my life going to be in order? Well, in steps 1, 2, and 3, I put myself in order with my Creator, where I make a decision that my Creator is going to be my director and it's not me. I'm going to be his agent. He's the principal. He's the father. I'm the child. He's the director. And I serve him. And then I want to put my mind in order by getting out of my self-centered thinking into God-centered thinking. And I do that through steps 4 through 7. I see my character defects. I see how I was seeing things wrong with my self-centered vision. And I want to see things right today. And I could see that my resentments were all wrong judgment, my fears were wrong belief, and I harmed a lot of people. I don't know if anybody else was in that situation. And so I want to get in order with my mind. I want to have right thinking. And now in steps 8 and 9, I want to get right with the world. I've said it a million times, I'll say it again. I want to be in the position where I'm not afraid to see anyone. I'm not in fear of them because I'm not willing to make amends to them. Anybody walks through the door, I'm willing to see them and make amends. I don't want to be afraid of anyone anymore. I don't want any unresolved issues. And Joe and Charlie said, this is the step where you get rid of shame and guilt. We all have a lot of shame and guilt. We all did a lot of bad things. But by doing steps 8 and 9, we get rid of that shame and guilt. And it says we put ourselves in order with the world. We're going to read the promises in a few weeks if we ever get to page 83. And it says we lose our fear of people and economic insecurity. I'm not afraid of people anymore. And I'm not afraid of economic insecurity. I may have it, but I don't have to be afraid of it. And you don't want to be afraid of people. You don't want to have any of these unresolved conflicts because that's the stuff that can get you separated from God and drunk. And so it says, but this is not an end in itself. So here's your real purpose in AA. Our real purpose in AA, my real purpose, is to fit myself to be of maximum service to God and the people about me. So, and I always read this, that my real purpose is to be of maximum service to God and other people about me, which is true. But my purpose is to fit myself to do that. And how do you fit yourself? How do you fit yourself to do that? I work the steps, I do the spiritual exercises, I pray, I inventory, I meditate. I constantly try to get back to God-centered versus Michael-centered. And then if I'm God-centered, I can be of service to God and others. And if I'm back in me running the show, I'm going to make a mess of it again. And it says, it's seldom wise to approach an individual who still smarts from our injustice to him. Announce that we have gone in, gone religious. In the prize ring, this would be calling leading with the chin. We lay ourselves open to being branded fanatics or religious bores. We may kill a future opportunity to carry a beneficial message. But our man is sure to be impressed with a, notice this, a sincere desire to set right the wrong. That's what we're actually trying to do in step nine. I'm trying to set right a wrong. Forgiveness would be great, but that's not why we're doing that. We're not doing that to be forgiven by the other person. We're doing it to set right the wrong. They may never forgive us. A lot of times that's true. That's up to them. He's going to be more interested in a demonstration of goodwill than our talk of spiritual discoveries. So I should have a sincere desire to set right the wrong, and I should demonstrate goodwill. This is how I should be when I'm going to do these amends. It says we don't use this as an excuse for shying away from the subject of God. People don't like to hear about God in AA sometimes. They don't want to talk about God. They don't want to hear about God. We understand that. You know why? Because we have a whole chapter about that in the big book called We Agnostics, which says change your mind. And so we shouldn't be afraid of talking about God. That's what we're trying to do here, is have a relationship with God. All we ask people is to change the way they see the name God, or the way they think of God, to whatever they think it works for them. And so we don't have any barriers. And it says, when it will serve any good purpose, we're willing to announce our convictions with tact and common sense. So that's another suggestion on how we be when we're making amends. Now here they start with a direct amends. And they start with the question of how to approach the man we hated will arise. And notice it said, the man we hated. It's past tense. You shouldn't really hate anybody anymore when you're in step 8 and 9. If you've done a good step 4 in resentments, you've said the prayers on 66 and 67, and you've changed the way you see them. You don't have to like them, you don't have to approve of them, but you want to have a kind and tolerant view to everyone. You ask God for that. You ask God to save yourself from being angry at that person. And God, how can I have a tolerant, kind, patient attitude towards them? How can I be helpful to them? So we really shouldn't, when we get to step 9, there shouldn't be anybody that we still hate. If we do, we need to keep saying the prayers until that we change that emotion. Why? Because if we still hate somebody, that's a barrier to God. And even one resentment could possibly be the thing that keeps you from staying sober. And so you don't want to hate anybody anymore. Don't have to like them or excuse them. But you want to have a position of neutrality towards them and just be kind and tolerant towards everybody, because we're all God's kids. Now that may not be easy to do, but it's the point of the steps. And then it says it maybe has done more harm than we have done him. And though we may have acquired a better attitude towards him, that's what they're talking about. Just a better attitude towards them. A tolerant, kind. What I like to say is, we're all God's kids. How can I be considerate of somebody? They are who they are. They have their personality. We're all God's creatures. And we are still not too keen about admitting our faults. So it says, nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It is harder to go to an enemy than to a friend. We find it much more beneficial to us. You see, this is a step we do for me. I'm doing this step so I'll be free of this bondage of self regarding the world and these other people. How they react is not the purpose of the step. It's how it's going to help me to let go of my ill feeling and make right with them. And people who've done it will share, we'll have time, how that's really changed your life. So we go in a helping and forgiving spirit. How can I be helpful? Confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret. And so I've wondered about that. If I hated somebody in my mind, do I owe them an amends? Do I want to go to somebody and say, you know, for years I thought you were total? I don't know if that's going to be good. And I don't know if that's really making amends. If I didn't harm them in some way with my behavior, then I don't know if that's, hopefully I've changed that through doing my resentment inventory. Does that make sense? So we've all disliked people and been bothered by people. We don't have to go and tell them if they don't know it, if we didn't do anything. Now, if we dislike somebody and we were really obnoxious to them and we treated them poorly and we didn't, at work, we had conflict and all, then that's a different deal. So it's very important when you do the step that you actually write out how you actually harm somebody. Because you can harm people in your head and they don't know it. But how did you actually harm them? What is the amend you're going to write? If you stole money, if you went to work and you didn't do a good job, you know, all sorts of ways. They're going to go through a lot of the ways we harm people. But just hating somebody, unless you led to behavior that caused them harm from you, that's a separate thing. And that's why you have some, you talk about it with someone. You don't do the ninth step the first week. And because it's a very important step, and you don't want to make things worse. You don't want to create ill feeling for someone if it's not there. But you always want to have a helpful and forgiving spirit all the time to everybody in the world. I have to remember that all day long. Confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret. Then it says, under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply we tell him, they're telling you exactly what to say, I will not get over drinking until I've done my utmost to straighten out the past. So how do I straighten out the past with this person? What was the amend? How do I amend the relationship? How do I make right the situation? And it says, we are there to sweep off our side of the street. That's another thing. I'm here to clean up my side of the street, not their side. I'm only here talking about what I did. I'm not there to then get in an argument about you did this or that. It's not part of this. Realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so. Never trying to tell him what he should do. I really don't want to have any barriers between me and anybody. And you don't really know that. That's why your fourth step and things are revealed to you all the time. I was doing this meeting 4 or 5 years ago and I thought of somebody I owed amends to. It just came to me. And then I found their number and I called this person and it was great. I hadn't really thought about it, but things will come to you. Remember, God gives you these things when he thinks you can handle them. So sometimes you can't see things when you do your first four step, but you'll see them later. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. If our manner is calm, frank, and open. So we want to have, he's telling us how to be. Calm, frank, and open, helpful, tact, sensitivity, a better attitude, helpful, forgiving spirit. A lot of good suggestions. It would be a good thing to meditate on how you want to be today with somebody, anybody you meet. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we are calling upon admits his own fault, so feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemy sometimes prays what we are doing and wish us well. Occasionally they will offer assistance. It should not matter. However, someone does throw us out of his office. And Chuck C. talked about that when he was making amends. He thought the guy would throw him out of his office, but can't remember. And so I said last week that when you're going to somebody, you have to know how you harm them. You tell the person how you harm them, and then you ask them how they feel about it, if they want to tell you anything about it. And then you ask them how you can make it right. And so it's a powerful step. He says, we have made our demonstration, done our part. It's water over the dam. So you don't keep going back. And you want to have your issue with that person resolved when you leave. That doesn't mean that they're going to resolve their issue with me. But I want to have done my best to right the wrong and then move on. Now, we hear at meetings, there are a lot of these, and they're going to talk about domestic situations. And those are the ones where the other person may never forgive you. And those get very complicated in trying to make right some of those things. And we're going to talk about that later. Most alcoholics owe money. You think that's true today? I don't know. I owed a lot. I had to refinance my house. And I had to put all this credit card debt in the house. And I owed more in the house than it cost me to build it. But it's paid off today. So that I took care of that. We owe money. We do not dodge our creditors. Telling them, and they didn't have credit cards in those days. Think about that. telling them what we are trying to do. We make no bones about our drinking. They usually know it anyway, whether we think so or not. That's usually pretty true. Nor are we afraid of disclosing our alcoholism when the theory may cause financial harm. So they're really, at some point you have to be, you're not ashamed to admit you're an alcoholic. There's some point in your recovery when you feel comfortable, you understand your disease and you're willing to express it when it's appropriate with other people. Approached in this way, the most ruthless creditor will sometimes surprise us. Arranging the best deal we can, we let these people know we are sorry. Our drinking has made us slow to pay. We must lose our fear of creditors. See, we're trying to lose our fear of creditors, fear of people that we hated, fear of everybody in the world that we encountered. We don't want to be afraid anymore. No matter how far we have to go, for we are liable to drink if we're afraid to face them. You see, they really thought this was an important step. And I always, when I do this, I always say, well, you know, are there any amends out there that I need to still make? And I ask God, and I try to think. Now, there's some amends I'd like to make, but it's not appropriate. I could do more harm. And so this is an important step. It says, perhaps we have committed a criminal offense, which might land us in jail if it were known to authorities. We may be short in our accounts and unable to make good. We have already admitted this in confidence to another person. So they talked about the person we hated when we owe money, and now we're talking about criminal offenses. And we have admitted this, but we're sure we'd be in prison or lose our job if it were known. Maybe it's only a petty offense, such as padding the expense account. Most have done that sort of thing. Maybe we're divorced and remarried, but haven't kept the alimony to number one. She's indignant about it and has a warrant out for arrest. That's a common form of trouble, too. There's many ways that we actually committed crimes that in so many different ways. How do we handle that? How do we make restitution for that? And it says all these reparations take innumerable forms. Here are some general principles. They're going to give us some general principles to this. Reminding ourselves, myself, that I've decided to go to any lengths to find the spiritual experience. Is that true? Is it true, everybody in the room? Of course. But then you have to say to yourself, have I done my amends? Am I doing my amends? It says, we ask that we be given strength and direction to do the right thing. So here's where you have your relationship with God. You ask God, and you find somebody that you've worked the steps with who knows you well, who you trust, to discuss it. And sometimes, if you haven't had any experience in that area yourself, you might find someone, or say you have to find somebody who had that same situation. So they might be able to help you. I remember listening to this one guy. He had a warrant out for his arrest. He left parole. He was living in California. He had a warrant out in Georgia. So his sponsor said he didn't have any experience with that, but he had him talk to somebody who did. And they told him how they had handled that and what they did. So it's important to find people who've related, who have that experience with things like that. And we be given strength and direction to do the right thing, no matter what the personal consequences may be. Now that's a tough statement, isn't it? It says we may lose our position or reputation or face jail, but we are willing. We have to be. We must not shrink at anything. And that's true. And the thing for me to remember is that I want God involved in this decision. I want God to direct my thinking in these type of areas. And I want, it says in step 11, we said when we face indecision, we don't know the right thought or action, we ask God to direct our thinking, we pause, we let go, and we let him, the answers will come, and he'll give me the right answer. And so these are the kind of things you have to think very carefully about, make sure what your motives are, and get a lot of direction from people who've done it or you respect. But you don't, it says we don't shrink in anything, we have to be. Remember, you take God in all these situations. Whenever, put a coin in your pocket when you're going to make amends or talk to somebody. Carry God with you all the time. It says, usually, however, other people are involved. Therefore, we are not to be the hasty. Like, for instance, if you may have to go to jail, then you won't go to work, and then you won't be able to support your family. And so there's a way that you can make this restitution and still be able to be of value to the people you're with now. So you have to think it through carefully. It says, therefore, we are not to be the hasty and foolish martyr who would needlessly sacrifice others to save himself from the alcoholic pit. A man we know had remarried. Never heard of that in AA. Because of resentment and drinking, he had not paid alimony to his first wife. She was furious. She went to court and got an order for his arrest. He had commenced a new way of life, had secured a position, was getting his head above water. It would have been impressive heroics if he had walked up to the judge and said, "Here I am." And this may be an example where he may need to make amends to her in other ways and hadn't done so. You see, it's not said in the book. We thought he ought to be willing to do that if necessary, but if he were in jail, he could provide nothing for either family. We suggest he write his first wife admitting his faults and asking forgiveness. So he's going to make amends to her and ask his faults, write her, or even go see her if he could. He did, and also sent a small amount of money. He told her what he would try to do in the future. He said he was perfectly willing to go to jail if she insisted. Of course she did not. This whole situation has long since been adjusted. And I think I'd like to comment on that is that that may sound good in the book, but I've worked with a lot of people. I've been to a lot of meetings. I know people in the room who have ex-wives who have a lot of resentments against this. They never let go of them. They keep trying to take financial or legal action. It's very hard. We can't control how they react once we make the amends to them. And so those are very difficult situations. And a lot of times people will never forgive you, and you just have to understand that. They're not going to forgive you, and it's never going to be different. And you can only do your side of the street. You can't react to them. But you're going to need sponsorship, and you're going to need God to be able to handle and react appropriately so you don't make the situations worse. Those are tough. Before taking drastic action, we might implicate other people. We secure their consent. If we obtain permission and have consulted with others and ask God to help. See, here's the other advice. You're saying consult with others before you do any of this. Ask God to help, and the drastic step is indicated. We must not shrink. I'm looking at Matt, but he remembers the first meeting he went to. I won't say anything because I'm on tape, so I'll do it after we talk. But I love Matt, and I think he loves me some days. We were over in that little room, remember? And he mentioned that he had made his beds, and the other person did accept it, and this and that. And then people gave him advice the whole rest of the meeting. We got off the topic. Everybody was going to fix him. But then I saw Matt at the Best Buy, and then... We worked the steps together, and I know Matt's made his amends, and I'm going to ask him to comment on that. He's done a great job. The next one is about a story of the guy who took money from his business associate and then denied that he ever got it, so the guy was ruined. And then he thought he could not possibly make any right, but if he was to make it right, he was in a business with somebody else now, and it would harm that person. So he got everybody involved, and it says on the third paragraph, after consulting with his wife and partner, he came to the conclusion that it was better to take those risks than to stand before his creator guilty of such ruinous slander. See, how are we going to stand before our creator is really the issue. And if we do our best to clean up the debris, then when we stand before our creator, we really don't have any boundaries between me and my creator. And if I have a boundary between someone that I won't forgive, then the Lord's Prayer says that I have a boundary with God, and I don't want that. And it says, he saw that he had to place the outcome in God's hands, or he would soon start drinking again, and all would be lost anyhow. He attended church for the first time in many years. After the sermon, he quietly got up and made an explanation. His action met widespread approval, and today he's one of the most trusted citizens of his town. This how it happened years ago. I just got a thought while I was doing this. I think it came from God. That a lot of times I'll plan a situation and then I'll plan the outcome. Anybody ever do that? But I have to remember that I'm not in charge of this event. That the outcome could be in so many different ways that I could even imagine. And that's what's happened in my life with situations. I go in with God. And I wouldn't know what the outcome would be. And something happened, and it was a whole different outcome than I ever thought of, and it worked out. So we don't know how the outcomes would be. I think I'm going to stop there. I don't want to get into domestic troubles. We'll be here all night. But that's what we're going to cover next week. We cover domestic troubles, and it's really some good advice. And then we're going to talk about how the alcoholic is like a tornado. We're going to look at the long period of reconstruction. We're going to look at some advice of the spiritual life, and then we'll look at the promises. So we'll pick up with that next time. So we'll open it up, and then people can share how this step has helped them. I know that there's some amends that I have made, that, and I didn't know that they were going to happen because these people just appeared, and it changed my life. And I don't know. It's a step that has really produced so much blessing and peace in my life. And Mark knows, like my sister, she would never call me, and she'd never reply to my texts and this and that. And so I said to Mark, I said, I don't want to feel this barrier between her. So then I reached out, and I called her, and I kept calling, and I sent texts. And eventually, she talked to me, and she really wasn't upset with me, but her life was so miserable that she didn't want to involve me in her misery. I mean, I understand. She had a really rough time. Her husband was sick, and I knew all that. And then eventually, he died about 8 weeks ago. And when he died, and she told me, I had no barrier between me and her. And so we were close. And she had reached out, and I was able to communicate with her. We were good. And so wasn't that a blessing? And so, and it wasn't that she was mad at me or this and that. It was just one of those things with, she just didn't want to reach out. And I don't know what her issues were. And I wanted to make sure that I did that. And I did, and we're fine. And it was really worked out. So we had been pretty close for about a year before he died. And when he died, if not, and I hadn't talked to her, he would have died. I may not have even known. She might not have even told me. So I don't know. These relationships with people are close to you are very tough. But I wanted to make sure that there was no barrier between me and her. And I saw this man who his mother wanted to visit the new grandkids. So I didn't know the whole story. And I said to him, I said, well, you know, whatever you can do, you don't want to have a barrier between you and someone you, you're close to, because people could die at any time. You don't want those unresolved things. And so I see that in my work as a cancer doctor. You run out of time. You never know. You never know. So you don't want to have any of these unresolved. I don't know if that makes any sense, but so.